and
people aren't living the gospel, and kind of gives an urgency to our message. He said, I'm really more concerned about the persons who have taken these nativity scenes and the state of their soul. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation, as always, with...
and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
She fell into her parents' grave. The fox has entered the hen house, and the world is going to end in 12 years. All of that here today on Viewpoint. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Today will be no exception. It may sound humorous, but it didn't feel humorous to the woman who's suing for $5 million. She was visiting her parents' Long Island burial plot and descended into a pit of despair. She sank hip deep into her parents' grave. According to the lawsuit, the real-life horror show that Joan Cullen bent down to fix a bow on a wreath by the headstone when a sinkhole formed and began to swallow her up. She then tried to bounce back, and she started sinking further into the ground and grabbed the sides of the tombstone. She was stunned. The Long Island woman cried out for help, but no one was there to save her in the graveyard, nor could hear her screams. Getting sucked into your parents' grave, when you go to visit them, it's terrifying and traumatizing, said her lawyer. And now it's the St. Charles Resurrection Cemetery administrators turned to shiver in fear after being hit with Cullen's $5 million lawsuit. The 65-year-old woman says the chilling incident in the graveyard has left her an emotional wreck, and now she needs counseling and $5 million. Well, I could not help myself. It all sounds so humorous. You know, they say 95% of humor is tragedy in retrospect, and indeed, one can well understand that the woman would not be overly pleased to find herself sinking into her parents' grave. On the other hand, as I read this story, friends, I thought that's exactly what's happening in our country. That's exactly. The children and the grandchildren are sinking into their parents' graves. That's right. That's exactly what's happening in our country. For instance, Go back to April 5th, 1993. It was the second time in 18 months that Time magazine featured a cross on its front cover. In the bottom right-hand corner, it said, "The generation that forgot God." Notice the word forgot. It doesn't say forget or will forget. It said forgot. So for the previous 25 years, Time magazine observed that the nation had forgotten God. So by the time that April 5th, 1993 rolled around, our nation had already forgotten God, which means that the parents and grandparents had forgotten God or had abandoned God. We had abandoned God in our schoolhouses. We had abandoned God in the courthouses. We had abandoned God in many of our houses and even in the White House. So, it appears that our children, the children and grandchildren of those who had been national leaders, that is, parents, as of 1993, the year we formed Save America Ministries, as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour here on the near edge of the second coming, that very year is the year that Time magazine said the previous generation had already forgotten God. Not only that, my friends, but think about this. Forbes magazine, the premier business magazine in America, devoted their entire 75th anniversary edition in 1992 to asking the question, whatever happened to virtue in America? Discussing the seeming discombobulation of the entire country, loss of virtue. And of course, our founders said, you lose virtue, you lose everything. Because our very ability to govern ourselves is based upon us being a virtuous people. So, once again, we fell into the pit of the lack of virtue. We fell into the pit of godlessness. Then, as a consequence, we fell into the pit of lack of virtue. And then we had Newsweek and Time both telling us, first of all, one told us in 1992, everybody's lies, everybody's doing it. Honest. So we fell into the pit of dishonesty and untruth and undependability and lack of conviction and lack of integrity. And as if that were not enough, Newsweek declared on its front cover in 1992, how the American dream unraveled. Are you starting to get the understanding here? So if we go back to 1992, which is 26 years ago, 27 years ago now, another whole generation ago, you can well understand then why the children and the grandchildren are falling into, dare we say, the graves of their parents and grandparents. Ponder that for a moment. And then we see what's taken place most recently last week with regard to the college admissions scandal. And we see how parents did everything they could illegally through bribery to try to get their kids into first-rate colleges and universities synthetically. In other words, fraudulently. Do you not think that the children and the grandchildren will fall into the graveyard pits, dare we say, the moral graveyard of their parents? And we're told that the kinds of things that happened through those 50 that were arrested and became part of that tremendous FBI and judicial effort to corral the abusers of the college and admissions, college and university admissions programs. We're told now that this is a common practice, that this kind of thing is going on in various ways behind the scenes and has been going on for years. It just happens that these people got caught in the dragnet. So, the children and the grandchildren are falling, slipping into the graves, the moral and spiritual graves of their parents and grandparents. And what will be the end of it? Who will they sue now? There will be nobody to sue. It'll be all over for America. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It's now the end of the world. Well, it's the end of the world for the environmentalists. The environmentalists who are worshiping Mother Earth rather than Father God, having kicked God out of our nation 40 years ago, 50 years ago, were left with nothing but the worship of nature, Mother Earth. And that's exactly what environmentalism is about. It's not about caring for the environment. It's about worshiping the environment and substituting the environment for the people that the environment is supposed to serve. So, once again, our children and grandchildren, that is those children and grandchildren of those who were baby boomers and baby busters, are now once again slipping into the graves, shall we speak, the graves that are being dug for their parents and grandparents, just slipping right into those graves. And the trauma is great. You can see how great the trauma is by the hysteria that's being brought forth. In the age of climate change hysteria, the end of the world clock is already ticking, and it's ticking fast, writes Dr. Michael Brown, who has joined us many times here on this program. He said the scientists are unanimous on this. Quoting none other than Beto O'Rourke, the scientists are unanimous on this. We have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis, said O'Rourke. Can we make it? I don't know. It's up to every one of us. Do you want to make it? Can we climb out of this grave? We're slipping into the grave. We've got to grasp. We've got to do everything we can. 12 years and counting to save the planet, or we're doomed. Now, let's respond to that just a bit, if we might. Mr. O'Rourke raised $6 million for his campaign for president in one day through this message. One day. One day. This is an appeal to mass hysteria, isn't it? It's creating emotional pandemonium. So what's the problem? When you abandon your worship of God, the Creator, you lose hope. Now you've got to have another alternative religion. You've got to have something to worship because nature abhors a vacuum. And so you've got to bring in something else to worship to get your attention, to cause you to move into a tremendous move of the spirit. To hug trees. To even have sex with trees, as a university professor in California is doing, and proud of it. O'Rourke said, the whole world will be destroyed if we don't act quickly. And that means, of course, we have to elect Beto O'Rourke president. He'll save the planet. Barack Obama didn't save the planet. He said upon his election, the seas would drop and the clouds would rise, whatever it was, and the whole earth would be saved. And people believed it. Now, according to Beto O'Rourke, science has made it clear that we should do nothing less than marshal every resource in the country to meet that challenge. Not only to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels to zero emissions, not only must we emit less greenhouse gases, we have to plant things that absorb all the other greenhouse gases and carbon. And we have 12 years or less to do it, or else. In fact, we know that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has warned us that not only do we have just 12 years before we're wiped out in the planet, but there is no limit to the cost or the expense that we should be willing to pay, even if there's nothing left. For instance, no food on the table, no economy, no automobiles, nothing. It doesn't matter, she said. We're going to all die in 12 years. This is the new worship of the godless, my friends. The godless have no hope. And so we are creating a god, not no longer made in our own image, as Time magazine said on April 5th, 1993. We're creating a god made in the image of trees. And doesn't that sound an awful lot like ancient paganism? You better believe it. It's a form of modern idolatry. We have no fear of the Lord. We have fear that the climate is going to destroy us. The climate is going to discipline us. Notice, in the 1970s, the warning was for a rising ice age that was coming upon us in the 1970s. Then in the 1990s, they began to tell us it was a global warming. Then when global warming didn't seem to be panning out, then it turned into climate change. So whether it cools, whether it warms, it doesn't make any difference because the climate is changing and it gives us the foundation, absent the God of the Bible, absent the worship of the Creator, absent the trust in the Creator to control the universe. No. We have to control it. We have to become gods. Otherwise, the universe itself, Mother Nature, will judge us because we don't believe that Father God even exists, let alone will judge us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see what's happened to us? We're burying ourselves. We really are. We're burying ourselves. We're burying our children. We're burying our grandchildren. And now we've raised up these godless pagan children and grandchildren to rule over us. We've raised up the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes, and who, by the way, came out mocking prayer last week, mocking prayer. What good does prayer do? Don't talk us about your thoughts and prayers. Don't talk about that. We got to save the climate. When Jesus said, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you can't be my disciple. There's a new cross that's been taken up, friends. It's called the cross of hyper-environmentalism. And you can only save yourself. There is no other salvation. There is no God who will save you. Only Mother Earth can save you. And the only way Mother Earth can save you is if you save yourself. So you must bow to Mother Earth. You must bow to the Queen of Heaven. You must bow to a counterfeit God who will rule and reign over the planet in our rising paganism. Now, the scary thing, says Michael Brown, is not that this new presidential candidate believes this timetable to be true. It's that today's intellectual environment, so-called smart people, is such that he, that is Beto O'Rourke, can say these things without being laughed to scorn. Worse, he believes that this kind of rhetoric will help his campaign rather than hurt it. And obviously it did, because it raised $6 million in one day. That's about the same that Bernie Sanders raised when he stepped out onto the presidential platform a week or two ago. In other words, the more radical your view, revealing you have no trust in the God of the Bible, no trust in the God of the Creator, the more radical your view for self-salvation, the greater your opportunity to become president of the United States and raise money. That's exactly what's happening, friends. Do you see that? You may not be hearing it this way on any of the news programs out there, because their mouths are shut to any talk about God, the God of the Bible, that is. And we'll find that that's true even with regard to Fox News. So far has this gone that it isn't just radical leftists now like Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez who suggested that it may not be ethical to have children, given the difficulties that climate change will likely cause. To quote her, she says, there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult, and it does lead young people to have a legitimate question, is it okay to still have children? So there's a new movement among women. It's called Birth Strike, saying no to kids because of climate change. According to Alexandria Ortega-Cortez, referred to commonly as AOC, the research suggests not having kids is the most impacting thing we can do to decrease our carbon footprint. More and more women have begun questioning whether or not they should have children at all. So we save the human race by not having children. Wow, what a solution. That's even more short-sighted than China's one-child-per-family policy, says Michael Brown. Yet many believe that the end of the world is near. Again, not based on biblical prophecy, but based on climate change apocalypse or frenzy. Then add to that that Nancy Pelosi wants to reduce the voting age to 16. So bring it even younger to those who are in the rapid slide into the proverbial graves of their parents. Right now, climate change hysteria is far more dangerous than climate change itself. I agree with Michael Brown in that regard. And let me suggest to you, this is one of the massive deceptions of our age. It is the United Nations that is promoting two main agendas. Would you like to know what they are? And has been promoting these two for at least 25 years or more. The first is evolution. They said it's the most important thing that we can teach. Why is that? Because it undermines God, a creator. We can't have a creator God if we're going to unite the world with a United Nations and a one-world government. We have to get rid of God. We have to get rid of the Creator. We'll create a counterfeit God. We'll create one in our own image. We'll create Mother Earth. We'll lift her up. We'll lift up the goddess of reason as the French Revolution did. But we will not have that man, Christ, to rule over us. So evolution is the number one thing the United Nations says must be done. The number two thing is to spread environmentalism. Why is that? Because it's an alternative religious movement. It's an apocalyptic movement, a counterfeit to preparing the way of the Lord for the real apocalypse, that is the unveiling of Jesus Christ when he comes. It's a counterfeit, friends. I hope you're listening very carefully, because we're going to see more and more of this as we find ourselves slipping increasingly rapidly into the graves of our parents and grandparents. Oh, it is a frightening thing. If that woman who slipped into the grave of her parents a bit ago, that was just reported in the news, if she thought she was traumatized, she said it was terrifying and traumatizing. Her lawyer said that. And quite frankly, this all happened in Resurrection Cemetery. Oh, how ironic. It happened in Resurrection Cemetery. But friends, there's no resurrection for this slide into this proverbial moral and spiritual grave that we've been digging for ourselves in this country. The only resurrection for that will be a massive spiritual revival that's got to start in the hearts and minds of those who profess the name of Christ, because that's where it's God's warmest audience, and it's the place where there's the greatest hope to see change we could really believe in. You might want to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. I think it'll help you through a lot of this morass. Help us to set our feet on solid rock. It's an $18 book. Yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Again, the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It's yours on our website for $15, an $18 book. So many people, as they read this book, they just shake their heads and say, wow, where have I been? And it's so heart-opening, so eye-opening, so strengthening for our walk today amid all of these slippery slopes that everybody keeps getting caught in, including the woman that was sliding into her parents' grave. That's true. We opened the program with the story. You'll have to go back and pick it up at the beginning of the program. Go to the archive section of our website, saveus.org, and you can pick up the whole program. All of our programs are archived there for at least a year. You'll be able to find fact sheets and all kinds of helpful information, books and materials right there on our website, saveus.org. I hope you tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, about it and help us to get the message out to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Well, you know the frenzy that Alexandria Ortega-Cortez and Beto O'Rourke now have generated with regard to environmentalism and the tremendous, stressful fear, apocalyptic fear of the end of the world happening in 12 years. Now, it's possible that the end could happen in 12 years, but it's not going to happen as a result of climate change. Now, bear in mind, the Bible does tell us that there is going to be climate change. okay? But it's not going to be in the way they're describing, because for them, for these environmentalists, no matter what happens, it's climate change and it's apocalyptic. If we end up with an ice age, it's apocalyptic. If we end up with the entire world turned into the Sahara Desert, it's apocalyptic. No matter what happens, whether it cools, whether it warms, it all fits into the new scenario in order to raise up a worship center and a worship team across the nations of the world to prepare the way for a one-world government that will depend upon the sweeping revival frenzy of environmentalism, the worship of Mother Earth. Now, what's interesting is that Alexandra Ortega-Cortez is very worried about our children, she says. Now, she's not worried about children that are ready to be born because she finds it absolutely okay, in fact, something to be bragged about, something to be encouraged to abort those children. Virtually all environmentalists want to abort children. That's part of their religion, part of their worshipful experience. So if she's really concerned about kids, though, and what they're going to experience as a result of this outpouring of environmental stress from nature, what do you make of this report that just came out? It's called The Stress Mess. 3 in 5 millennials say life is more stressful now than ever before. So what is it that they're finding so stressful? Would you be interested to know? From slow Wi-Fi to broken phone screens to zero likes on social media, everyday stressors are causing young adults to have struggles falling asleep 138 nights each year, according to researchers. By the way, did you hear anything in there about environmentalism, about climate change, the great trepidation concerning climate change? No. Although losing one's wallet or credit card ranked at the top source of stress for millennials, 1 in 5 said they'd be even more apoplectic if their smartphone screen broke. For more than 2 in 5 millennials, 41%, a damaged phone screen is worse than seeing their engine light flash on in their car. Now, as for how all of this supposed stress is affecting millennials, let's go through the list of the things that they consider the most stressful while they're seeking out safe places in the colleges and universities because they cannot handle discussions of anything that is not politically correct. Here they are, the top 20 stressful scenarios reported by millennials. Number 1, losing your wallet or credit card. Number 2, arguing with a partner. Number 3, traffic delays. Number 4, losing your phone. Number 5, arriving late to work. Number 6, slow Wi-Fi. Number 7, phone battery dying. Number 8, forgetting passwords. Number 9, credit card fraud. Number 10, forgetting the phone charger. Number 11, losing, misplacing keys. Number 12, paying bills. Number 13, job interviews. Number 14, phone screen breaking. Number 15, credit card bills. Number 16, check engine light coming on. Number 17, school loan payments. Number 18, job security. Number 19, choosing what to wear. And number 20, washing dishes. Not one of the top 20 includes climate change, nor does it include any of the other things that we're being told by politicians, hyper-liberal politicians and progressives that are tearing the nation down and apart. They didn't even list Donald Trump among the top 20. Imagine that. Notice, not one of the top 20 was a life-threatening problem. So, our young people, 38 years and under, have no idea what real stress is. They have been living in a selfie world, prepared by their parents and grandparents to inexorably slide into the open graves, moral and spiritual graves of their parents, as the nation disintegrates before our eyes. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Now, it took the Jerusalem Post to make this clear. We had to get this message from Israel because you couldn't get it very clearly here in the United States. Do you realize that the fox has now entered the hen house and become a hen? That's right. The fox has now entered not only the hen house, but has become a hen. That's exactly what's happened. Fox News now has canceled Judge Jeanine Pirro's very popular talk show on Saturday night, canceled it because she happened to say something about Muslim American Representative Ilhan Omar that was not politically correct. So Fox News now has joined the politically correct, multiculturalistic, religious pluralistic hen house. Where else are you going to go to get any kind of legitimacy of news now? Pirro, whose top-rated show covers American politics in the Middle East, discussed the firestorm over Omar's anti-Israel rhetoric, which many American commentators said bordered on overt anti-Semitism. So on her March 9th show, Pirro blasted Omar for questioning the loyalty of American Jews to the United States by rhetorically asking if her Muslim faith means she is more loyal to Sharia law than the U.S. Constitution. Omar wears a hijab, which according to the Quran tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution, asked Judge Pirro. The next day, Fox News joined the hen house of liberalism and progressivism, saying we strongly condemn Jeanine Pirro's comments about Representative Ilhan Omar. They do not reflect those of the network. A week later, when her show failed to air, the cable news outlet stated, we're not commenting on internal scheduling matters. In fact, Fox News declined to comment if and when Pirro's show would return. So here's the deal, friends. Lori Loughlin, who was arrested together with her husband, who had a long-standing, highly moral acting career, particularly on Hallmark, through When Calls the Heart, had her, that program summarily taken off the air by Hallmark, so it did not appear Sunday evening as was normally scheduled because of the moral, turpitude of one of the key actors. But here is Jeanine Pirro, who is speaking directly to one of the most challenging issues that America is facing right now, the Islamic invasion seeking to take over, as the Quran mandates, to take over every country, to bring Sharia law to bear, to rule over every human being in every country on the planet, Fox News now gets rid of Jeanine Pirro and her program. I tell you, all you can do is shake your head and say, where is the hope? Where is the hope? And Jeanine Pirro wasn't even one of my favorites. A lot of people thought she was, but, you know, she was fighting for the country. Fox News, sorry, has joined the hens in the hen house. Liberalism rides supreme.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. And friends, it's not over yet. The fox not only has entered the hen house and become one of the liberal and progressive hens by dismissing Judge Jeanine Shapiro and her program, but now, can you believe this? Now has invited Donna Brazile to become one of their great paid commentators. That's right. After infamously having been accused of leaking CNN debate questions to Hillary Clinton's campaign and absolutely questioning the legitimacy of President Donald Trump's election, former Democratic National Committee Chair Donna Brazile has been added to the Fox News political roster as a contributor. So they dismissed Jeanine Pirro, who is making standing strong for the Constitution, standing strong for the country, and they dismiss her for one statement that was a legitimate question, but they bring in now Donna Brazile. Now, let's talk a little bit more about Donna Brazile. On the one hand, she seems to be a fine woman. The problem is not with her political views in and of itself. The problem is with her character. You say, how so? I thought she was a Christian. Well, so she said. In fact, she went boldly on CNN and talked about her great Christianity and how her faith kept her so strong and gave her such moral uprightness, only to find out she lied through her teeth. Not only did she lie through her teeth, even while she was telling us that she was telling the truth because she's such a wonderful Christian, but she admitted finally, when there was no way she could hide from it any longer, she finally admitted that indeed she had leaked debate questions to the Clinton campaign before the debate. Before the debate. She lied. She claimed Christian faith as the cover for her blatant lie and for her fraudulent use of those questions to stage the date, the debate in favor of Hillary Clinton in the last election. And now she's being rewarded by Fox News while it dumps Jeanine Pirro. Brazil said after President Trump's first year, she absolutely questioned the legitimacy of his election. She admits she's not going to be a friendly face for Fox News viewers. She says, I know I'm going to get criticized from my friends in the progressive movement for being on Fox News. In other words, for entering the hen house with Fox. As for the controversy of using her CNN access to leak debate questions to the Clinton campaign, it should be noted the DNC, that's the Democratic National Committee, has vowed to shut out Fox News from hosting a 2020 Democratic primary debate. This is unbelievable. Has Fox News done this in order to ingratiate itself monetarily for monetary gain to hopefully turn the tide to get the Democratic National Committee to allow Fox to host one of these 2020 Democratic primary debates? I think so. Apparently, for Fox News, money talks more than morals. And friends, we're watching this trend. This is a trend that has been going on now for some time. You see, you can't trust a fox. Foxes will always be foxy. They will. That's why we even have the phrase, letting the fox to guard the hen house. But you really have a coup when the fox is no longer guarding the hen house, but gets into the hen house and tries to pretend that it's a hen. And that's what Fox News is doing. And it has been doing this increasingly over the past several years. Might I suggest to you, the Bible says this, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes and potentates and presidents and popes and pastors and priests, yes, and foxes. We, friends, are going to have to realize, professing Christians are going to have to come to realize increasingly, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels are beckoning us to heaven's open door, and we dare not feel at home in this world anymore, Fox News or otherwise. Politics, friends, is not our savior. Conservatism does not replace Christ. The free economy does not replace the freedom that comes in Christ. No. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We've got to have a return to righteousness if we have any hope. And that has to be in God's house. The Bible says that judgment's going to begin first in God's house. Why is that? Because to whom much is given, much more is required. We find that in the book of Ezekiel. We find it also in the New Testament. Judgment will begin first in the house of God. So, let's suppose that judgment begins in your house as a professing Christian. What will the judgment be? Are you prepared? Have you been preparing your sons, your daughters, their grandchildren? Pastors, have you been seriously preparing your people for these times that are going to attack their very existence, everything they hold dear, every hope, every dream, their feelings, their jobs. Are you preparing them to be able to endure to the end? Or are you trying to give them the easy way out? Like the old song back in the 60s or 70s, got a good reason to take the easy way out. Really? You see, we're not out of here. We're still here. Persecution is ramping up around the world. 11 every day are losing, Christians every day are losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. 4,100 last year. That doesn't count those that were imprisoned, consigned to the chain gang or breaking up rocks for 15 years, which is a virtual death sentence in North Korea. Doesn't count that. It doesn't count those who are losing their jobs in the United States of America for the legal attacks that are coming under color of law to try to shut down genuine, loving, faithful, righteous Christian businessmen and women. So the question is, have you been seduced into the ways of the world? Don't answer too quickly. Because the reality is, from pulpit to pew, that seduction, you can hear the great sucking power. The great sucking power of the cultural seduction that is bringing every man, woman, child, yes, pastors and people alike, priests, yes, even the Pope. Sucking all into the great maw of a false master. And then the counterfeit Christ will come. Will you recognize him? If you can't recognize the difference between the holy and the profane today, how in the world will we recognize it when the counterfeit Christ comes, who is slippery as a fox on steroids? Oh, where do you stand? The stage has been set. A one-world ecumenical blended religion or ethic is not only contemplated but nearing consummation. All who refuse to embrace this false unity movement that's in place now, that's what Fox is all about now, joining with the spirit of CNN and MSNBC and The New York Times and all of this, playing the game. All who refuse to embrace this false unity movement are now being culturally and politically marginalized and will soon be deemed the chiefest of enemies of the new Roman and Babylonian order. They're even now, as we have been talking about, persecuted through proliferating hate crimes legislation, the rising choir of voices of world peace seeking to drown out the lone voice of the Prince of Peace and his faithful followers. So, again, the question is, where do you stand? Have you been seduced? Have you been sorely tempted? Has the promise of unity caused you to forget that for the true follower of Christ, our unity is solely in him and in him alone? What are you saying to your kids and grandchildren? Pastor, can your voice be clearly heard and discerned among the flock, calling them to come out from among them and be separate? So then, as God said, I will receive you and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. This is the growing hour of temptation. Deception is knocking at the door. The river of seduction is swift and the currents are capturing virtually everyone who ventures close. And so I remind you, as we wrap up, as Jesus said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. By God's grace, his enabling power can allow you, enable you to remain pure and resist the tide in love